much. And it's sat on the shelf all year long. And Lisa went to spend it this week. And someone had hacked it or something, and all the money was gone. I was like, the salary shelf, we were not receiving it. So someone else did receive it. So, but yeah, it's true that if you don't receive it yet, then you don't yet have it. So we're going to talk about the receiver and receiving the gift of Christmas in Jesus today. And today we're going to begin, if you want to follow along, we're going to be Luke, chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 2, we're going to talk about the time that Tim Hawkins was making fun of her a little bit. The angels came to the shepherds, and what they said. Oh, that's a dark picture. I'll never forget about that. Anyway, some worries. I'm trying to give you a little background first. So in chapter 2 of Luke, it's when Mary gives birth to baby Jesus. And that's the Christmas story is in a couple of places in the Bible. This is one where they go to the inn, and they lay the baby in the manger, and then later the angels go to the shepherds. But before that, it's almost like the trailer to a movie. It like builds up to something big happening. Right before that is when Mary's family, Mary's extended family, they give birth to John the Baptist, who's supposed to go in front of Jesus to go before Jesus, sort of announce that Jesus is coming. And so John the Baptist was born just before this, and his father, Zechariah, he prophesies. And it just builds and builds. Zechariah says, "Oh, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He's visited and redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation, something big. God's raising up his horn. It's a person who's going to bring salvation." It's the same thing that was spoken about by holy prophets, that we would be saved from our enemies. And he goes, "Oh, no, it's the promise that Abraham gave us. And you," speaking to his son, John the Baptist, "you, child, you'll be called a prophet of the Most High. You're going to go before the Lord, and you're going to prepare his ways." And you just sound so excited. It's the biggest coming. He said, "You're going to give knowledge about salvation and for the forgiveness of sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise," calling Jesus like the sunrise, "the sunrise is going to visit us from on high to give light to everyone in the darkness." And then it just simply says, "And that child grew, became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance." And sort of like set the stage. Okay, John is somewhere preparing for the coming of Jesus. In the next chapter, we have what's known as Advent, that is the coming of Jesus, the first coming of Jesus. And so, the person who wrote this, Luke, we know he's a physician, so he's kind of, he likes the facts. We call him the physician Luke. So he starts off chapter 2 this way. He says this. He says, "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar," which Caesar wouldn't tell us. He includes all these details, just make it so historical, so great. He says, "A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. A king's colony in this day had grown a lot." Now at this point, Rome had grown huge. Anyone that you consider civilized and had organized governments and education and stuff, basically, almost all of them sort of belong to Rome in some sense or another. And so Rome had this huge empire now, and they would count them. It's like when the United States takes a census. And so part of this counting was, you're supposed to go to the city of your father or of your ancestor, whoever was significant, and you're going to be counted according to that city. A lot of people can live in cities, so the county center of the city. Well, Joseph, Mary's engaged husband. Mary's husband that she's engaged to, Joseph, he belongs to the city of Bethlehem because his ancestor was David, and Bethlehem is one of the two cities we call the city of David. So he's going to Bethlehem and he takes his pregnant, engaged fiance with him. And it says this. It says, "While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes." Every father knows what that means. That means that the baby was wearing a t-shirt right there. "Laid him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." So sort of set the stage. The next thing that's going to happen is God's going to send messengers to announce that he has given the gift. talked about it. Zechariah prophesied about it. John the Baptist has been preparing for it. And now the gift is here. And the angel, the messenger of God, are going to come and announce this gift to someone, to some shepherds. So I'm going to read through here. So it says, starting in verse 8 in chapter 2, it says, now in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of the great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a whole multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. When the angels had went away from them, and they got back in heaven, shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, honoring them at the heart.
Talking to yourself.
He came for everyone. Jesus did it not just for the people that can get the word out, not just for the people who maybe appreciate it most, but it really is for everyone. In my family, this Christmas season, about one way I've received Christmas this year is there's someone in my family that, you know, there's something between us that is, man, is there any better time? Is there any better time all year? And it's like, I could get things right in Christmas time. And this is the time when I should be celebrating the greatest, and I should have anything holding me back from celebrating the Lord who saved, even something that might irritate me, or maybe someone I haven't visited in a long time. And man, what a perfect time for that. So the first thing is, Christmas is forever. Next thing I was reading through here, and I noticed that the shepherds got this great message from the angels, and they didn't just hear. I mean, it's great, it's awesome to be there. Can you imagine you're sitting there in the field and there's no wolves, there's no thieves, things are good. Same thing that happened in the last few hours. Nothing's going on. And all of a sudden, all those angels show up. And it's like, the things the prophets talked about just happened. We came to tell you. And they get this awesome news. And then they're singing like, heavenly fire, then they go away. And it's like, would you just stay there? Wow, that was cool. Came back to the sheep. They went in haste. Said, man, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord had made known to us. And it says, they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. And that saying there, they went with haste, it doesn't so much mean like they were in a really big hurry, but it more means like they just really obeyed. Like if I were to tell my kid, hey, would you pick up this room? Pick up your toys. And if they pick up really quick, it's not so much they're in a hurry, they just obey you right away. And they're pleading to you. So they're like, yeah, yes, we want to go see the Savior. And so they went right away. The part of receiving the gift is not just hearing about it. You can hear about it right here. You can hear about it anywhere. But really, they showed us. The shepherds went with haste. And they showed up. They went. They went to where the gift was. They went to go receive it. Show up physically. Just this week, Lisa and I, we just decided last minute, you know what? This is Christmas. We shouldn't be around the house on the weekend. Let's do something. And so we kind of took a bit and said, let's go see the lights in Union City. That's right around the town. It's like an hour away. Now, 4 million lights. We're like, let's go see. So we thought we'd have an hour car ride. We looked at the lights for 10 minutes. Man, let's do something. Let's show up for Christmas. And then I mean showing up and doing something to celebrate, not even visiting someone. Might mean showing up mentally. I don't want to spend Christmas this year on the cell phone. When I'm with the family or when I'm with people, I want to show up mentally too. And I want to show up spiritually. I want to make sure I spend time with the Lord. He tells me that He gave His Son, and He's got this gift, and He wants me to receive it. I don't want to think about it. Lord, man, you did that for me. What does that mean to me? What does that mean to me today? I really want to receive that. I think I skipped one, I'm sorry. Another thing was share it with others. So imagine you're Joseph and Mary, okay? You're totally dislodged from your life. So, first of all, if you're Joseph, you're engaged to this girl, okay? All of a sudden, it's like she says she's pregnant, and she says the baby's from God, right? Like, yeah, right, okay? And then just this experience of this dream, and the angel says, no, Joseph, this really is from God, this is my thing. I want you to keep her and take care of her and take care of that baby like your very own. And what an ordeal. And other people, they don't believe you, have shunned and stuff. And all of a sudden, Caesar has this, having everyone be registered. It's just like, we're going to go make this trip. We get to Bethlehem, there's no place to stay. They probably stayed in the back room of a house where someone keeps their animals, or maybe in a cave where someone kept their animals there. It's just like all this, and then all of you did all this, and then it's time to have a baby. Oh, Lord, help me. So you have the night there, and you're kind of worried about, you're engaged with this girl, hope she makes it, you know, and then the baby's born, and finally it's like, said, an angel told us that you're planning a baby in a manger. Where are you laying right now? Well, he actually did put him. He put him in the trough. Tell us more about what happened. They shared the story. They're like, yeah, and then the angel was saying, they said that it would be the Christ, the anointed one, and we just came just to celebrate. We just came to celebrate Christmas with you. And the birth of this son, it was with great joy. And it said that they made it known. Not that they just told Mary and Joseph, but they made it known to the people. There was a common knowledge of it. And then they went home and were just praising God, just celebrating Christmas. So they shared it with people. Now, the last Christmas, I finally got the guts to go and share the gospel with my grandmother. She is in fresh health, she's not doing very well, and I always want to share with her for a long time. And I don't know where she's at the Lord. She grew up in a church, but I wasn't sure. So I thought, well, I just need to go. I need to be responsible for her. Let's just go talk. So I said, it's Christmas. What better time? What better time? I want to go. I'm going to go share Christmas with Grandma. And if the Lord makes an opportunity, I'll share with God. So I drive. It's kind of a trip. We did the trip. Went to go see Grandma. And, was here a few times a year now. I showed them. My aunt is there, my great aunt. She's so awesome. She's taking care of Grandma. She gets there like a couple times a week. And she's kind of like, this is for a moment. And she also was just like, just so, I don't know what you call it, just socially acute. Like, my aunt's just awesome. She's like, okay, I'll see you later. Like, she knew I would have some time with Grandma somehow. But she goes on, I sit down with Grandma. And I say, hey, how are you doing? Merry Christmas, Grandma. Hey, I brought you a Christmas card with some pictures and stuff on all the kids. Hey, I just want to come and see you. So, I'm doing okay. She's just alone. She's so separated from her family now. There's nothing coming. It's at Christmas. You know, show up, big party. It's just, every other day. It's just not Christmas. So I said, have you been going to the church? She said, yeah, they wheeled me down. The priest comes here to the nursing home. I said, oh, man, I said, did they read the Christmas story in church? No, they haven't done that. And so this is the one thing I planned for my heart in my Bible. I said, Grandma, would you mind if I joined you in a Christmas story on Bible this year? She said, that'd be okay. And we never talked about Christmas stuff with Grandma. It was just, some people are driving past and they just got smacked. And I was just like, you don't touch that. And so I'm like, all right, Lord, I'll try to be soft in here. And so I just read her the Christmas story, sort of like we just did, right out of the Bible. And I said, I felt like the Lord gave me a message. Can I read you something else? And I read some passages about people who say that they love the Lord, like the Lord says, you have religion, but you don't really know me. And I said, man, I just care about my family, and I just want to talk about this stuff with you, and I want to share the gospel with you. And would you say that you're real? Would you say that Jesus looks at you? And it's not like she got down on her knees or anything, or was something crazy, but we have to talk about the gospel for a minute. It's like the first time ever. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. If I wasn't like the shepherds, I wouldn't have just thought about her and just loved her, but did nothing. I totally missed this. I just went to do it. And Athena said, we haven't really talked about this stuff. I'm so glad that we got to this year. And she said, I'm really glad too. Just to break the ice. It started with the Christmas story, the greatest gift God gave us. And just to share Christmas with someone. Maybe there's someone that you could share Christmas with, even if it's not the gospel, share Christmas with. Maybe someone says Merry Christmas, and it's like, you always say Merry Christmas, so glad I do, and thanks for being so awesome. Do you know the Christmas story? And then, oh, maybe just share the Christmas story with them. Say them about maybe 1 minute. Share it with others. Christmas is for everyone. Show up. And the last thing is, first of all, praise God. This really is the Lord's. This is the Lord's holiday. They celebrated before we did. Those angels showed up, and it's almost like other people within and longer. And the angels give them a message, and then everyone else just shows up and explodes and just in this praise and worship and just how beautiful is that. And where are they? Just to glorify and praise God in the season. Maybe it means making the Christmas Eve service a priority. Maybe you've never done this means before we open presents this year, that we sit down and read the Christmas Carol aloud again. We're going to make a new tradition. And if you do that, enough years, and your kids will associate Christmas with Jesus instead of just Santa or some other things. And even just sometimes fail in prayer. At least it sort of started a whole tradition in our family, so we sort of got away from it. But we see them, we light a candle at dinner table, and we haven't done it yet, we should do it. But we light a candle, and we say Christmas prayer before dinner. And I never done it before, I thought it was weird, honestly. I have did it a few times. I mean, Christmas dinner special, and I really like it. It made me think about Christmas now, just even my face. So I really appreciate that. As we go home this week, think about that. We have a couple weeks left before Christmas, and the Christmas season. God has given a gift. And it's sort of like don't leave the Visa card on the shelf all year. Go ahead and spend that gift. Make use of it this year. What can you do to show up and to include everyone at Christmas? And to share the Christmas story. And what can you do to glorify and praise God for the gift that He has given? Think about how out of His way God went to give this gift. Think about, we had like 40-ish people here. Just 40 people this year to really celebrate Christmas with our family a little more. Just think how much that means to the Lord. Yes.
Lord, your wickedness at your feet we fall. Angels sing praises ring to the newborn King. She's on earth here with us. Joy awakens me at your feet we fall. Share it with others. In Jesus' name.